God's peace and His grace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel reading of St. Luke, chapter 9, as we see the transfiguration account of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Transfiguration is used as a special time in the church to sort of end the season of Epiphany. During the season of Epiphany, we've been focusing on how God is revealing Himself through Jesus to be true man and true God. And as we end this season, we end it on a mountaintop, physically and literally and figuratively here. We have Jesus on the mountaintop with His disciples, and while He was praying, something special happened. You could say the divinity of God was sort of leaking through a little bit. He was shining in the glory of God. This was a special event for the apostles, for three of them in particular. And while that was occurring, something else was happening. Moses and Elijah were also there. And at first, this startled Peter, John, and James. But then, as things were settling down, they said, "It's good for us to be here, Lord. Let's set up three shelters." That didn't last long, because then here came the cloud, the voice from the cloud, God the Father speaking, "This is my Son, in whom I'm pleased, well pleased. Listen to Him." And then afterwards, they saw that Jesus was alone. That transfiguration account is a very good mountaintop experience for us to end the season of Epiphany. The reason why is the church is now celebrating this wonderful event. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. In case if we missed any messages earlier on, we definitely got the point now. He is that Son of God. However, before we go on too much into our message, I'm going to share with you a little bit of a, you could say, an example of one of the problems that we have in today's world. It has to deal with sunglasses here, so I decided to bring my sunglasses, at least to wear them for a little bit. As you can tell, there are many different styles of sunglasses in today's world. They have these type of somewhat fashionable style. They have the more fashionable ones, which costs maybe even up to $300 or more. Then they have, I like those wraparound kind, but I figured if I wore the wraparound kind, I'd get too many laughs, which are really good at protecting you for when sun comes at different angles. Well, the reason why I'm bringing up these sunglasses is, when do we usually wear sunglasses? Well, sometimes for a fashion statement, but more importantly, to protect us from something, to protect us from the glare of the sun, because sometimes that sun can be just a little too overpowering for us. Well, unfortunately, in our own lives, we sometimes have that same way of handling things with God. We see the glory and the power and the majesty of God, and our first reaction may be, "Let's put on these sunglasses." We may even say to God, "God, can you tone down the brightness and the glory so much? I can't handle too much at one time." And we put on the sunglasses to sort of block the power and the glory of God. And you may be saying, "Pastor, are you really serious here? Why would we ever want to block the glory and the power and the majesty of God?" And the answer is, we don't ever want to block it. But our sinful human nature kicks up again, and we do block this glory and majesty and power of God. Humor me for a moment. If you open up to your hymnals, we're not going to open up to a hymn. I want you to open up to the section before the hymns. There's a whole section in there, and particularly page 301. The reason why I want you to open up to 301 is because embedded in our hymnals is Luther's Small Catechism. And this is what we use as a basis of teaching, especially for our junior hires. And on page 301, that first column toward the bottom, you see something in red called the Creed. And this is based off the Apostles' Creed. We just got through confessing our faith using the Nicene Creed. Very, very similar. The Nicene adds a little bit more words. But then we have it broken up in three articles and three different meanings. So the first article says, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth." And then Martin Luther wrote, "What does this mean?" And let me just read that for you. It says, "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house, home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. that he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil, all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all of which is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Now let me get to my sunglasses for a moment. Whenever we take anything away from God, what we're doing is we're putting on our sunglasses. Whenever we take any of his glory away from him, as it's outlined in this first article, the explanation, we put on our sunglasses. So if we say, you know, this is a nice earth, it just sort of happened that way, we just got through taking that glory away from God. We didn't say God created it. We're saying it just happened that way. What we're doing is we're putting on the sunglasses and blocking that power of God. Whenever we start worrying about our daily life, because notice it says how God is going to, not only did he create us, how he's going to take care of us and provide for our needs. It's outlined very specifically in there. Whenever we start denying that and we start worrying and taking on our own problems instead of trusting in God, what are we doing? We're putting on these sunglasses again. We're blocking that power of God and saying, God, I don't want that power. I'd rather worry about things on my own. Whenever we start worrying about any type of danger that is going to happen to us and our families, now I will admit, those of you who are parents and you have those little ones, I will admit from time to time, I worry about my little ones also. But I also have to remember, wait a minute, the same God who created them, the same God who loves and cherishes them, Won't that same God also love and defend them? The answer is yes. So why do I worry about it? Oh, that's my sinful human nature coming in again. And at that point, I'll put on my sunglasses again. And I stop and I reject that power of God shining through. Martin Luther was very clear in that first article, the work of the Heavenly Father, of what he's doing for us. But in our daily lives, it seems like we put on our sunglasses way too quickly. Let me just quickly go into the second article. I'm not going to read the second article, but let me just get to the meaning of this. What does it mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Here in the second article, Martin Luther reminds us that we put our sunglasses back on whenever we start saying, you know, I haven't sinned. I've been a pretty good guy. Whenever we start saying those words, we put these sunglasses on and we're basically saying to Jesus, you know, I don't need your power. I don't need your resurrection. I don't need your death on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins because I haven't sinned. We put the sunglasses on. Anytime we deny that Jesus is not only true man, but also that he's true God, how can that be? It's beyond our imagination, but this is what Scripture tells us. He had to be true man and true God when he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But whenever we deny that in our daily lives, whenever we don't believe that, yes, he is our Savior, whenever we don't call upon him, we're putting on these sunglasses again and saying, Lord, I don't want your power. I don't want what you've done for me. Let me pick up the third article. Third article, and its meaning is on page 302, first column. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise me up in all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. We put on the sunglasses again when we say, God, I don't need your help. When we say to God, don't call me by the gospel. When we say to God, I don't need to read your word every day in my life. Lord, I don't need to pray to you. Lord, I don't need your help in any way. Lord, don't draw me to you. We put on these sunglasses. And the reason why I'm using these sunglasses is not just to pick on them, but to use it as an example of our lives. The power of God is now emanating, coming through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But do we want that power? Do we want to see the glory and majesty of God? Or do we want things sort of covered up with our sunglasses? Now, it may sound kind of strange. Why would we want to do those things? Well, the answer is pretty simple. The answer is, it's really tough to understand that Jesus, as a regular human being, is also God. Sometimes we gloss over that so much, and we just go through routines and sit there and going, oh yeah, church, that's about, you know, worshiping Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Do we truly understand that he is the Son of God? That do we truly understand he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? And we sit there and going, oh yeah, sins. I guess I have a few of them. No, we have a life full of them. We are sin, and Jesus has come to redeem us, to bring us to be with him in heaven above. But sometimes we take such a nice, relaxed approach to things, and when we do, we're putting on the sunglasses. Notice what happened to Peter, James, and John when they beheld the glory of God. They were in awe. Peter didn't even know what to say. Lord, let's put up three shelters. Does this make any sense? No. Why? The glory of God was shining through so much. Peter didn't know what to say. When was the last time your lives have been touched by the word of God so much you didn't know what to say? And if your lives aren't being touched like that, maybe you have to ask yourself, are my sunglasses too strong? Do I have to take them off? For a moment, I want to just shift gears a little bit. Let me pick up on Moses and Elijah, two people from the Old Testament. There were hundreds of years gone by, maybe even thousands, before these guys existed on earth, walking around between when Jesus was here. Now all of a sudden, they're with Jesus and they're talking about something. And what are they talking about? Plain and simple, they're talking about coming down the mountain. Not that they were at this really high, tall mountain, they didn't know how to get down, but what was going to happen as they were going down. You see, as they were going down the mountain, they were going to be heading to Jerusalem. What happened to Jesus when he got to Jerusalem? Eventually, he was going to be put on the cross. He was going to die. They were going to talk about this upcoming death and his resurrection. The importance of that death and resurrection. The completion of God's plan of salvation. In one essence, they were probably just as excited about it as God was. And so they were there as testimony to Peter, John, and James about how important this event was. But every time we think about the cross and we think about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we sit there and go, yeah, I know that, we're putting on our sunglasses one more time and we're saying, I don't want that power, that glory of God to affect my life. I want my life to remain as it is. I don't want the power of God to shine into my dark world. And we put the sunglasses on. Yes, Jesus did come down the mountain. Things did change. Very often we like to stay on that mountaintop experience. We like to see the glory. We want to be on top of it all. But you can only stay up there for a period of time. If you even had a personal mountaintop experience, you'll probably know what I'm talking about, that you do come down from the mountain. Very fittingly, as I said, this mountaintop experience is the end of this church season for us. We move into another season, the season of Lent. The color of the altar pyramids are now going to change. They're no longer going to be dazzling white. They're now going to be purple. Our music is going to take on a change. Not only is it not going to be festive anymore, it's going to be a little bit more darker melody-wise, more of a minor key, to remind us, yes, that period of Lent is a time of reflection, a time of repentance. What drove Jesus to go to that cross? Did he want to die for the fun of it? No. He wanted to die for the forgiveness of our sins. He wanted to die for each and every one of us. You see, our sins separate us from God. So God had to take on flesh and blood, live among us, and go to that cross and die for the forgiveness of our sins. It truly was a very terrible event, a very painful event, filled with a lot of suffering. There's an upcoming movie coming up, very fittingly. It's starting on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. It's called The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. In this movie, a friend of mine has already seen a preview, he basically said, yes, it does depict the crucifixion very vividly and very graphically. So if you have a hard time with that, you might want to wait and not see it right away. But if you can handle that, go and see it. It cost Jesus his very life so that we could be with him in heaven above. That was what Elijah was talking to Jesus about. And that's why we need to take off those sunglasses and see what our God has done for us. This transfiguration is a special event in the church. As we celebrate this mountaintop experience, we know that Jesus does come down from the mountain. And so we enter the season of Lent to prepare us for the next experience, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until that time, we continue to read God's Word. We continue to allow God to strengthen us and to guide us and to fill us with His Spirit now and for the rest of our lives. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.